From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the very first day of April 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, and we'll hear an interview I did this morning with Daryl Good, ag economist, from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. As we close out our program, Steve Hilbert will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast, and we should be able to catch up with Bruce Bostard, too. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. And it all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the nearby contract in the wheat at $3.75 lower. The high price at $7.74, the low at $7.44 3/4. Its settlement price at $7.59 1/2. Once again, that May wheat soft red down 3 3/4 cents. July at $7.96, down 3 1/4. The hard red in Kansas City a penny and a quarter lower at $9.17 1/4. The trading range for the May corn $7.38 1/4 to $7.25. A settlement price at $7.36, a gain today, up 42 3/4 in the May contract. July was up 42 cents, $7.46 the high, the low at 31, settlement price at $7.43. September futures at $6.81 1/2, up 26 1/4. December at $6.37 1/2, up 12 1/4. And the March of 2012 up 10 3/4 at $6.46. May beans at $13.93 3/4 cents, settlement price down 16 1/2 cents. July at $14.04 1/4 cents, down 16 3/4. And the August futures at $14.04 1/2 cents, 14 3/4 lower. September contract $13.97, down 9 1/4. November beans $13.89 1/4, 5 3/4 cents lower on the afternoon. May bean meal at $3.60.90, down 9.80. May bean oil at $58.68, a dime lower on the afternoon. April live cattle futures $122.07 1/2 cents. The settlement price up 52 1/2. June at $121.25. Up 27 1/2 cents. April feeders at $138 and a dime, 30 cents higher. And the May futures at $139.40, up 2 1/2. April lean hogs today, a nickel higher at $94.22 1/2. The May futures unchanged at $103.07 1/2. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. May crude oil futures at $107.94 on a settlement price up $1.22. Ethanol at $2.68, 2 4/10 cents higher. Natural gas at $4.35 4/10, down 3 1/2 cents. The RBOB at $3.15 2/10, 4 4/10 higher on the day. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.13 8/10, that's up 2 1/2 cents. Gold futures finished at $1,428 and a dime, down $10.80. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now just about 56 points higher at 12,372 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For today, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the Urbana-Champaign area. It'll be mostly cloudy, a high near 52 degrees, west winds between 14 and 16. They'll gust all the way to 24. And then tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 34 degrees, west-northwest winds at 10 to 13, gusting to 20 miles an hour. And Saturday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 55 degrees, west-northwest winds between 11 and 17. They'll gust as high as 24. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 39 degrees, west-northwest winds at 6 to 9. And Sunday, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy, a high near 60. Southeast winds at 7 to 10. They'll increase to 15 to 18. Winds could gust as high as 26. Sunday night, a 50% chance of showers remains, mostly cloudy, with a low of 51 degrees. A hazardous weather outlook has been issued, but not particularly hazardous for the area in east central and southeastern Illinois for Champaign, Clark, Clay, Coles, Crawford, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Effingham, Jasper, Lawrence, Macon, McLean, Moultrie, Piatt, Richland, Shelby, and Vermilion. That's for tonight. Isolated thunderstorms possible this afternoon. No severe weather really anticipated with those storms is to develop, but keep your eyes to the skies. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Friday afternoon, Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting joins us to take a look at the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. We don't need any caffeine this week, do we?
Oh, we do not need caffeine this week. Did you, I know you watched the numbers overnight. We watched those corn futures climb higher. They finished up another, 4 cents? I don't remember what I read. 42 cents.
So right.
Let's see. That's a gain of 72 in the nearbys. But the birds weren't up nearly as much. They were up only just 40 cents over the two sessions. And the beans actually finished lower. Did it surprise you?
I think the bear spreading in the beans surprised me, Todd. The fact that the July Nov spread in the beans not only made a new weekly low, but made a new eight-month low. That really surprised me, given the fact that when you look at the stocks report being very friendly for the beans and therefore friendly for the 10 crop, and you would think friendly for the old crop and the old crop supply issues, and then you look at the weather forecast suggesting that it's going to be tough to get a lot of early planting done in a big swath of the Midwest and the southern part of the Corn Belt, and that would suggest maybe a building up of bean acre potential and maybe the continuation of the Dease corn nov bean ratio working in favor of keeping corn premium. I think when you looked at it from that standpoint, I was very surprised that the spread did not do better in the beans like the spread did in the corn, because the corn spread really reacted as the report suggested it should, as it went on a path and a mission to ration demand again. And maybe one of the things that hit the markets extra hard today was not just that crush margins are starting to give way a little bit, and that trade's been talking about that all week when it comes to the soy meal and the oilseed complex as a whole, but there was talk that the Chinese may have either canceled some exports of the United States and moved those to Brazil, or they were moving out exports of the United States to more of a deferred time frame. The talk of cancellations, though, I think is what really hit that front end hard after midday.
When you talk to producers very much about what they ought to do about this new crop corn, and remember, we're only up a dime today as opposed to the nearby, which is up 42, so we're rationing nearby, and new crop, I suppose, is being pulled higher.
Right.
Are there places which you think that they ought to be marketing more crop?
Yes, places and timing, I think, is the key. The timing aspect goes back to the July Dease corn spread. You know, before, from March 1st to March 30th, the July corn had lost 67 and a quarter cents, and the Dease corn had only lost 9 cents. So the trade went into the report yesterday thinking that we were going to get probably smaller corn acres and that the demand rationing was done. We didn't need to do any more. So with the report shocking the trade and saying, no, you're wrong, we haven't touched it, and essentially, you know, Joe Glauber, the USDA chief economist, telling the Financial Times, we haven't done any, barely reacting, the demand side barely reacting to price pressures and confirming that that demand rationing hasn't been done, that opens up the idea that maybe the July Dease corn spread gets back to its March closing high of around 130. The lead month corn, whether it be May or July, gets back up to 765, and that happens in the next 15 to 20 days. So that's kind of the model that I'm using right now for new crop corn, is when the old crop gets to certain price levels at a specific time, that's where I'll start plugging those first cash sales.
Are you happily selling soybeans any sooner than that?
I'm not. No, I took the report at face value on beans. I really thought the bean report for the stocks number was a game changer. Now, I realize that in my own analysis that I feel like that the acreage numbers, when you look at the acreage numbers that USDA gave us yesterday, I think you've got the biggest corn acreage number and the smallest bean acreage number out there. So it's not like the acreage report did any favors for the beans, but I thought the stocks number did an enormous favor for the front-end beans. The only thing standing in our way, and it's a big only thing, is the demand side from China and this report of cancellations. And the next week's supply and demand report, does the USDA come in and take what could theoretically be a 110 or 115 2010 bean carryover number, because that's what you would associate or assume at this point because of the stocks number, if can they take that 110 or 115 carryover up by cutting demand quite a bit and keeping it at 140 or even maybe going above 140? If I see a number above 140 on the next supply and demand report, then I'm going to have to start really thinking seriously about selling more beans.
We thank you so much for being with us today.
Have a great weekend, sir.
Hey, you too. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. In just a moment, we'll talk with agricultural economist Daryl Good. I had a discussion with him this morning, not long before the opening of the marketplace, about yesterday's reports.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
We go through those numbers from yesterday. Grain stocks and acreage numbers were released from USDA yesterday morning, and the market has moved, well, between day trade and overnight last night, 70 cents upwards.
Yeah, I think the big surprise in the numbers was in the March 1 estimate of corn stocks. That estimate at just over 6.5 billion bushels was 150 to 170 million bushels less than the market anticipated. And in a lot of years, that magnitude of difference would not be so important, but when we're dealing with already very tight stocks, that really caught the market by surprise, particularly since at the last minute, some were expecting maybe USDA would find more corn than had been advertised. So that number says that we're used corn in the second quarter of the year at a very rapid pace, and that feed use of corn actually was up quite a bit year over year. We know that there's some noise in those quarterly numbers, but wherever the corn went, we don't have much on March 1. So that suggests that we need to continue to slow our rate of consumption, and that simultaneously we're moving into the time period when hog prices, for example, are going to be seasonally high, over $70, $75 hogs. Cattle prices are $120. We've had the biggest export sales of the year last week. Ethanol margins are good. So demand is strong, and we have to cut consumption. So, and we don't have much time to do it. We've got 5 months to get our consumption rates down. And so I think that's why we saw such a strong price reaction to that, saying the price has to signal somebody to reduce consumption.
So at this point, we've been using about 1.1 billion bushels a month, I believe. There are 6.52 billion bushels on hand as of March 1. USDA, up until this point, and still until we get the April crop production numbers at least, and the WASDE figures, says 675 million bushels will be in the bend at the end of the year. But at 1.1, that's not possible because we'll either be at zero or less than zero. So you're suggesting rationing definitely has to happen. What does that all mean when you put it in perspective?
Well, I mean, outside of some kind of intervention in the market, the only way you can ration consumption is with a higher price. And I think that's what the market is trying to do now, is to find that price level that will slow consumption in some category, whether that's feed or exports or ethanol use of corn. Somebody has to basically be priced out of the market for a period of time in order for us to have enough supply to get through the year. This is a little bit reminiscent of 95-96, when we had a short crop and livestock prices moved higher during that marketing year. Corn prices kept moving up, but we just did not slow consumption. And then finally, in the spring of 96, prices just spiked to very high levels, $5.50 or better. And that finally coaxed some people out of the market. And it feels like that's kind of what we're doing now, is we're going to have to spike this market up, reduce consumption, and then look to the new crop to see if we're going to replenish our supplies. And that kind of leads us into the acreage number at about 92.2 million acres, nearly 4 million more than we planted last year. So it's a pretty healthy increase. Now the question is, what kind of yield will we experience in 2011? Will that 4 million acre increase be enough to help us start replenishing our corn supplies? And At this juncture, it's a wait and see how the weather unfolds. I think there's some early concern that a big chunk of the planned increase in corn acres is coming in the Dakotas, and that's where it looks like spring might be a little late, particularly in North Dakota, where we've still got some snow and cold weather. So will we get all the acreage planted, and then what kind of yield will we have? So going to be an interesting next 4 or 5 months, I think, in the corn market.
And more than a million acres in the two Dakotas, I think 1.2,
I believe about 1.2 million. So of the 4 million increase, 1.2 is coming there. The other big increases, Iowa and Nebraska, which are generally higher yielding areas. But we're seeing more acres kind of across the board, Illinois and Indiana, modestly. But the big increases, Iowa, Nebraska, and the Dakotas is where the corn is coming.
So what do you think it'll do to the national average? And there are, so we've got two national averages sort of competing, because there's the actual national average, trend line yield, that is, on normal. And then here on this campus, we're not completely convinced that that's quite the right national average.
Well, that's right. I mean, people calculate trend yield differently. The traditional way is you just look at actual yields over time and fit a trend line to that, just a regression line, and you calculate the slope of that line and you say there's your trend. But when you start that data observations is very important. How far back do you go and looking at yields and fitting a trend line to that? And then secondly, and I think more subtly, do you take into account at all differing weather patterns over the period of time, so that what you would really like to get a handle on is what is the weather adjusted yield each year, and then calculate a trend to that. And when you do that, what you find is that on average, weather conditions in much of the growing area have been more favorable in the last 15 years than, say, on average in the previous 35 years. And so our tendency is to say, well, you've got to discount actual yields a little bit because we've been more favorable in terms of weather. And then you calculate what I would call a weather-adjusted trend yield, and you get a slightly lower projection for 2011 than if you just use actual unadjusted yields that have been observed over a period of time. Others get an even higher number because they want to start calculating the trend more recently, say start in the early 90s or late 90s and calculate a trend over a fairly short period of time. So people do it differently, and so you get a different number. The market seems to kind of settle on 162 bushels as trend. We would be 3 or 4 bushels below that in terms of our calculation of trend.
Okay, so if you, and I'll bet you've got these numbers at hand, if you use 675 at the carryout and you believe rationing actually happens, what do you come up with for then, given the acreage figures and the couple of different options that are available for trend yield, what do you come up with carryout for 2012?
Well, basically what you come up with is unchanged carryout. I mean, basically it says, yeah, we'll do a little rationing this year. A crop will be big enough next year that we can bring that use back online. We assume that crude oil prices are going to stay high, ethanol demand strong, and so consumption continues at the current level, and we just don't have any opportunity to rebuild inventories much at all next year. So things stay really tight. The difference might be that we can go back to a normal rate of consumption, that we don't have to do any rationing. People can use all they want, but we're just not going to have any left over September 1, 2012.
Right. So if we ration out, we end up with 675. Who can be out for 6 months and get back in then?
Well, it that's a good question. I mean, at the margin, you could argue that everybody could slow down a bit. That this rapid rate of increase in ethanol production, maybe that slows down a bit. Maybe we see some slowdown in livestock feed consumption. Maybe we see exports decline a little bit. It's not clear at this point who's going to do that. And it, it will be those who find the corn price uneconomic for them to continue to use corn at the current rate.
Switch gears, talk about soybeans. The acres there were below the trade estimates.
They were. We're looking at planted acres of about 76.6 million acres compared to 77.4 last year. So it is a decline, and again, I think supports the idea that soybean stocks are going to remain fairly tight for another year. We're just not going to have any inventory left over at the end of this current year. And so what we have available to use next year is whatever we produce. And on the surface, it says we'll produce a slightly smaller crop next year than we had in 2010.
Can you put that in a context of an acreage battle, if there is any at all, that's left to be handled now, between now and the time the planters finish rolling? Do you think that new crop prices will reflect a push for soybeans to try to gain acreage in the United States?
Well, I think it's a bit of a dilemma here because we really can't afford to give up acreage of much other crops. The one area where we might is we might cut further into spring wheat seedings. And so if you look at the Dakotas, where spring wheat acres is up a bit from last year. Maybe soybean prices go high enough that we see some of that acres move to soybeans. But I don't think you're going to take it from corn because we're seeing new crop corn prices now at new highs, along with soybean prices at new highs. So I don't think there's going to be any backing off of corn acres. In the south, where much of the cotton is planted, those decisions are pretty much locked in down there. So I'm not sure there's much of a battle to be raged for acreage moving forward.
And finally, unless you really think there's something that a producer will need to do with old crop, doesn't have much left in the bin probably anyway, and it looks like just pick a figure and pull the trigger when you want to. What do we do about new crop then in sales? We probably have locked in a really good crop insurance price and a profit. If they've done it properly, and now they have opportunity. Prior to this date, you said, wait until we get to March 31, and we see those acreage and grain stocks figures. We've been there.
Yeah, my thinking has been, you know, okay, from a risk management standpoint, new crop corn prices have been high enough that maybe you have sold some, just saying this is a high price, it's a profitable price. But we've been thinking move pretty slowly, not too aggressively. Wait for an opportunity for market prices to go above your insured price, where you do now have some downside risk. We're moving, and that's where we are right now, is new crop prices have moved above the insurance price by 30 cents or so. And so we're now saying we're into that territory when we start thinking we'll be a little more aggressive on new crop sales. I guess at this juncture, with the way the market's behaving, you would have to think there's still some more upside potential here over the next month or so, particularly if spring planting gets delayed a little bit. I think the market's going to be very nervous if we continue to see some good export sales. So yes, we're in that territory where we've got to be ready, but I think still a little bit patient here for the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Darrell, thanks so much.
Yep. Thank you, Todd.
Darrell Good, Ag Economist from the University of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Back in 2 minutes.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
On the phone line now with us to take a look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostert. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Lots of phone calls to the co-op today.
It was a really pretty busy couple days.
And are they making sales, or are they just asking?
A lot of phone calls, a lot of sales, but the average size of the sale wasn't necessarily that big. We're down to pretty small sales on old crop sales. The new ones were larger.
Okay, and that was my next question. Was it both old and new crop?
Both old and new, but the bulk of the bushels were new crop.
Any beans being pushed through the market?
A few beans being sold also on the scale up. Same way there. Not that many beans for the old crop. I guess my feeling is that to buy grain right now, it's more of a basis play in the old crop because the ownership has transferred into the hands of the commercial. New crop is a flat price game, and if you want to ration stuff, there's a certain amount of flat price involved in that, too.
And then basis followed it up nicely, I suppose.
Basis held really well on the run-up, but then on the run-up on this, if you're looking at trying to ration things, and you have to hold the basis in, too. New crop, you can see it back off, but potentially on a run, but old crop, I'm not sure how much you want to back it off.
And your bids for the day?
We are at 722 on nearby corn, 604 new crop, beans 1376 and 1355.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He's in Ludlow, Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. Usually we talk with Steve Hilberg. He's with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, not available for the afternoon. We do have the forecast for Urbana-Champaign. It looks like this. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy today, a high near 52 degrees, winds out of the west at 14 to 16. They'll gust up to 24. And then tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 34. West, northwest winds at 10 to 13, gusting to 20. It'll feel cold. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 55. West, northwest winds at 11 to 17, gusting to 24. And then Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of just 39 degrees. West, northwest winds at 6 to 9 miles an hour. And on Sunday, 50% chance of rain showers, cloudy, a high near 60 degrees. Southeast winds at 7 to 10. They'll increase to 15 to 18 throughout the day. Could gust as high as 26, and Sunday night, that 50% chance of shower stays in place. Mostly cloudy, a low of just 51 degrees on Sunday evening. Monday, showers and thunderstorms likely, cloudy, a high near 69. Chance of precip, 60%. Monday night, showers and thunderstorms for the Urbana-Champaign area, cloudy, a low of 37. And Tuesday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy and breezy, a high near 49 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 36. By the time we get to Wednesday, should be mostly sunny, a high near 56, and Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low 45 degrees. Thursday should be mostly sunny, a high near 66 degrees. Commodity week should be a good one. We'll record at 4:30 this afternoon. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. You can pick it up off our website not long after 6 o'clock tonight. I'll post it there. It's the website before it ever makes it to a radio station. So if you get the opportunity to listen to Commodity Week, please do. Our guest in studio as panelists include Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson. And the guest by phone, John Bondurant. We'll take a look at the USDA reports and try to calculate what it all means for the price of corn, soybeans, and, well, cotton, wheat, and all the livestock numbers, too. It all happens in Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agriculture. And this week, it's an important one. Please do visit willag.org for that program.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
We know the Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, a cooperative effort of U of I Extension, the College of ACES, that's the Agricultural College here on campus, WILO Radio, with a little bit of help from the Illinois Farm Bureau and this radio station. We do appreciate everybody along the line. Thanks for listening. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.